Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour with Randy Gordon, only on LA Talk Radio.
The stats, math figures, poll results, and or other facts may be incorrect as the host may be too buzzed or drunk to intelligently refer to them.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour. I am Randy Gordon, your host, once again, as we discuss libations and things that are on my mind, things that may be on your mind, and just things in general that hopefully we can change the world or just complain about it. Maybe that's a good idea, too. That's usually what my life is about. Tonight, we are drinking, I am drinking 10 Barrel Brewing out of San Diego and Bend, Oregon. They have several. They're kind of a big microbrew, if that makes sense. You know, they don't just have one shop. They got a lot of them, and they have a lot of beers. But I was walking through the store, and I kept seeing these I kept seeing these things called Crush. There's a raspberry sour and a cucumber sour, and it's their sour beers. And what caught my eye was the can, because it looks like a generic beer. Now, I don't know if any of you remember from back in the day, back in the 80s or 70s. That's a sip of the raspberry sour. I'll get into the notes and what I think of them in just a second. But if you remember back in the 70s and 80s, boy, generics were the thing. You don't see them much anymore, but because I think everything's got a every store has their own brand. You know, like Great Value, I think, is Walmart's brand, and then Ralph's has like Simple Truth Organics, which is their brand. But it's, in a sense, it's a generic. It's cheaper. And back in the day, man, generics, the best part about them, and 10 Barrel Brewing actually has a thing called pub beer, which is a lager of theirs. But the pub beer can is exactly what a generic beer looked like back in the day. Except it didn't say pub brew or beer on it. It just said beer. And I remember I was with my buddy Tom, and I was 11 or something like that. I was going with his family up to Wisconsin in the wintertime, which is not a great vacation, to be honest with you, you know, unless you really like doing cross-country skiing and freezing your ass off. Snowmobiling is fun, but I was kind of young, so I didn't really get to drive them. It's a different story when you're, you know, you're older and you get to drive the snowmobiles around. And shit, that's fun, except in the Midwest, here's the one thing about snowmobiles. When you're driving out with your buddies, if they own them and they have a big piece of land, like at a farm, they don't tell you that underneath that 4-foot mound of snow is a barbed wire fence when you're driving your snowmobile. So there have been many of accidents back in the Midwest from people accidentally going, oops, hey, there's a fence under there. So it's kind of dangerous. If you remember generics, you can call us 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 is the number to call if you're listening on latalkradio.com, which I hope you are. Or you can also, if you're listening on 30mch.com, we appreciate it, or iTunes, any of those other places you're getting your podcast from. So I just remember going to the store, and his dad went and bought. So there was two things there. It was a Kroger store, which is Ralph's out here in LA, and I think Superfoods or something like that. Ralph's has a few of them. It's all Kroger though, and they had beer. I just remember seeing the cans. There was a 6-pack, and it just said, it was white with black letters, beer. And right next to it, Kroger had their own generic too, which was a yellow can with black that said beer. They also used to have, you know, potato chips. It's pretty much self-explanatory what it was. There was no guessing. Macaroni and cheese. It was just straightforward. generics. But so that reminded me of those, and so I was really curious to find out what they were. And one's cucumber, and one's raspberry sour, which is I'm drinking right now. There we go. The cucumber sour I tried earlier, right before we got started the show, because there's two of them here, so I'd, you know, I gotta pace myself, if you will. The cucumber sour, I opened it right away. No cucumber notes to the nose when you open it up. It smelled like a beer, just like a normal kind of lager, ale sort of thing. Then when I tried it, the cucumber is almost non-existent in it. And I think part of it is because they're using artificial cucumber flavor. I don't know what that's made of, but the other one uses real raspberries. It says on the can it's made with real raspberries. This one says artificial cucumber, which isn't that a dildo? So the cucumber was sort of absent. The sour, I'm not a big fan of sours either. I have friends who really like sours. If I wanted to, you know, drink some Cabbage Patch Kids or whatever those little candies are, I would melt them down and drink them, because I don't need all that sourness. I want a beer, you know, even if it's a light beer, or, you know, I want it to be a beer. I don't want to, you know, you can turn into Skittles later on, but at first let me have a beer. That's what I want. And I notice I'm saying it kind of weird tonight. Beer. So then I tried the raspberry, which to me is much better. And especially if you like raspberry, which I do. If you like the raspberry flavor. It's there. It's not, you know, killing you with the raspberry. And there's a little of that sour tartness to it. Again, like the cucumber. Not overpowering in the sour area, but it's a puckery. You get a little pucker going. It's not bad. I think I like that a lot better than the cucumber one. But it does, you know, the sourness does mess with you. It gets that pucker going. I think that's why I never really cared for them. But for a while, that was a big, I don't know. It was like the next wave after the IPA stuff was sours were all the rage for a while. And I don't know if it's technically a sour or not. I'd have to have a professional bartender on to tell me. But I think it's, it's called Rattler. It's a grapefruit. And that is one of my favorites in this kind of genre. Because it tastes like squirt. If you like squirt, you should try it. And I can't remember who makes it, but it is one of my favorites. So I went looking at 10 Barrel to see what they're all about on their website. They have a shit ton of beers. I mean, a lot of different things, a lot of different strange things. You know, IPAs and lagers, and they have funny little names with them and stuff. But if you look at their website, it's like if the Patagonia clothing company made beer. You know, and everybody's outdoorsy and very hipstery and very Bend, Oregon, very Seattle, Washington, or Los Feliz out here in Los Angeles. They're very much the hipstery kind of outdoorsy people. It's just funny that the website just made me think of I was on like Patagonia or, you know, one of those kind of sites, because I wasn't sure if they're brewing beer or they're just, you know, hiking up in Yosemite and playing guitar and saving the whales. I don't know. It was funny though. But if you'll see them out and about, they're all over the place. Like I said, they've got all kinds of beers. You see them in the store. One of the, I don't know what you call them. They're not micro brews anymore, are they really? I mean, they kind of started that way, but then some of these companies are growing, then they get bought up, and then they're not really microbrews anymore. Now they're big brewing companies, and there's still a handful around here that are really the true authentic microbrews here in the Los Angeles area. And you get more and more, depending on the cities you live in. They're still out there and popping up. but like I said, either they get bought up by AB, you know, which is InBev. Was it InBev? Something like that is the company that actually owns Anheuser-Busch. And I don't know if they ever change it, or maybe when it gets mass produced, maybe sometimes that changes things along. I always wonder what happens to the brewmasters, the guys who came up with the recipes. Do they, and you know, are brewing it all the time? Do they? What happens to those guys? Do they, when somebody gets sucked up like that in a big corporation, do they disappear? They get jobs? They move on? Get to take their check and start another company somewhere? Maybe they do. But if you are a big fan of sours, give them a shot. That's what I would say. And if you are a fan of cucumber, which who isn't really, you know what I'm saying? You know, I would say if you're in it for the cucumber, again, like who isn't in for the cucumber? You know what I'm saying? Probably not the go-to. Got a little hint there. I would say even Hendrix gin has got more cucumber in it than that, which is why I like Hendrix. I don't like other gins. Hendrix has that cucumber essence, and it's kind of nice in a martini with a little. Maybe if you put a wedge of cucumber in it, maybe that would boost it up if you're all into that. But if you dig the raspberry, then right here. Shalom. That's a good one. Right there. So driving down the freeway the other day, this weekend, I want to discuss this. And this one I was talking about earlier when I said maybe we can talk about things that will change the world and make it a better, safer place. And this is what we need to do. People, and I want to just send this out there to everybody. For the love of everything that's holy, on the freeway, or if you're in the Midwest, the highway, do not drive the exact same speed as the person next to you on a two-lane road. You know what I mean? When it's four lanes across, two and two, do not, I'm going to repeat this again, do not, for the sanity of everybody behind you, drive the same speed as the person next to you. I got caught behind these people, and it drives me absolutely fucking nuts. Because there's two people driving right next to each other, which means nobody can pass. So what, they are the arbiters of the speed. They are in control. They are setting the pace for everybody. There's two pace cars in front of this race, and it's those two jackasses driving the same speed down the highway. And they're usually driving, you know, 65, maybe 55, somewhere around there. Not 80, like most of us. Let's admit it. Who the hell drives 65 anymore on the freeway? I'd say nobody. I mean, most of the people I'm doing, sometimes I'm doing 80, and I got guys whipping past me at 100 miles an hour, at least. But you get this, and then what it does is it bogs down the traffic. And if you ever, did you ever have anybody, like, do that next to you as you're driving down the freeway? Maybe you're doing 75, you're doing a pretty good clip. And here comes somebody who comes up behind you. Not just, like, you accidentally match their speed. No, they're coming up from behind you, and then they get right next to you, and some reason they're like window to window, and they're not looking at you. But it's creepy, man. It's really creeps me out. It's really weird when somebody's driving right next to me on the freeway doing 75. It's almost the equivalent of somebody coming up to your living room window and just standing, not staring in it, but standing like parallel to it and just standing there outside on your front porch. And you're, it's just creepy. There's no reason for you to be there. Like, you know, either slow down. I'll slow down. That's what usually what happens is I'll be the bigger person and I will slow down and let this person just, you know, I'll give the buffer so people can go around if they want to go around or whatever the case may be, because that just irritates me. And if you're doing, and this is the thing, on something like a four lanes, like I said, two and two, two one way, apparently this raspberry gives you the burps. To one way, to the other way. If you're in the left-hand lane, please speed. Please speed. Speed. Don't get in the left-hand lane and go 65. Speed. Unless you have a trunk full of speed, then probably go 65 because you get pulled over. But all you're going to do is piss off a bunch of people. Now we got to try to go around you, you know, and then there's going to be that other person that's going to get up there and match the speed because they don't know. They're trying to be safe. And oh, and you get, and this is how road rage happens. And oh, and have you ever, I'm always curious about this, if you've ever had, this has never happened to me, but I think about it more and more as the, you know, the more people you meet, and if you live in a certain area, and you know, I mean, like if you drive in that certain area all the time, and over 5-10 years, you meet a lot of people. So when you're driving in that area and you get road rage with some, if you don't, especially if you know the, you don't know the people's cars. Like you may know a lot of people, but you don't know what everybody's car, what they drive. So you're having road rage and you're pissed off at this person and you flip them off, and then you guys, and you realize, oh shit, I know that person, or that's my friend. And I was curious, like, how would you react if you, if that was the case? Like, would you go, oh, Brian, just kidding, man. I didn't know it was you. Or if it's somebody you didn't like, I guess you could keep going and yell at him. But I always wonder, like, what, because there's been a few times where I thought about it because I got really frustrated with the person. And then I said, well, I don't know who the hell this is, and I might know them. And I would be really embarrassed to be flipping them off and saying, fuck you, get off the road, you jacket. And then they, and, you know, especially if it's like some woman I know who I kind of was like, oh, I guess that blows my chance, doesn't it? You know, considering I just chastised her, her driving, that's not a good thing. Of course, that's the old running joke, isn't it? Women are bad drivers. And apparently today, women are bad shots. But we'll discuss that later at another time. The YouTube shooting that went on at the offices is a woman shooter who had a, she was upset with whoever her boyfriend or fiance or whatever. Four people went to the hospital, and this is the greatest, by the way, the greatest doctor I've ever seen get interviewed at one of these press conferences. And he kept saying, some people have multiple wounds, and they're like, does that mean they're shot multiple times? And some reporter kept asking him that. It's like, does that mean they're shot multiple? Does that mean everybody had multiple? And the doctor said, if you have more than two or more, that means multiple holes. It was just so irritated with the press that was out there. So apparently there's four people that were shot. None of them seemed to be critical. Nobody died. So she's not a very good shot. I mean, she's good with herself because she blew herself away, but apparently not a very good shot when it came to other people. You know, should have went to the range. So yeah, the doctor was pretty funny though. He's just so irritated. I love it because they get bombarded with this. He even called him out on asking the same fucking question four times. He's like, didn't you just ask that question? No, he's like, somebody else asked him. I'm like, well, it's the same frigging question, dude. It's the exact same question. He was a piece of work. So I hope everybody had a good Passover, and which is usually, that's what I call Friday nights at the bar trying to pick up women. Passover. Ba-dum-bum. And Easter was Sunday. Easter and April Fool's on the same day. So let the jokes fly. You know, Mary and Peter standing outside of Jesus' tomb. Going, I can't believe Jesus did. I know it's been 3 days. I can't take it anymore. And all of a sudden, ta-da! Gotcha! April Fools, you should see your faces, man, when I came out. I don't know, all of a sudden it was Bill Cosby. You should have seen your faces. So it was Easter, and of course they played the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. They play it every year. That's a big, huge production for the day. I mean, it was huge production for that time. The set pieces and everything else. Oh, amazing. But it was, you know, and of course it's the times, so they probably didn't have a lot of people of certain ethnicities to be in the movie as they do today. But it's white on white. And I love how Moses, the way he talks in the movie is so funny. You realize that he's not a great actor. And maybe he was just like good looking for the days, but God, he's not really a fabulous actor. Everything sort of halted and stopped in the way he talks. My favorite is Edward G. Robinson, though. Yeah, see, Moses, you and Moses, yeah. Which is what the Chief Wiggum character is modeled off of. But Easter comes and goes, and I haven't gotten an Easter basket in 40 years, probably. Yeah, it's sad. My mom used to give us Easter baskets when we were all little kids. There's five of us in the family. And I remember, man, they were good. They were good, though, when I was younger, when we were all little kids. We get the Easter basket and have that little fake plastic grass in it. And then you'd have a chocolate bunny of some sort, you know. Usually they're hollow. We'd get the hollow ones because they're cheaper. You can't get the salad milk chocolate. We went to Rockefellers over there. You know what I'm saying? We're the Gordons. We don't have that kind of money. So we get one of those and always jelly beans, which my mom would throw into the grass of the plastic grass, which made it very difficult to get these jelly beans out of the friggin' basket. Because you get tangled up in that plastic grass. And there were candies in the little plastic eggs. We'd have those. And it seemed like a plethora. When early on, it was like a lot of these candies and chocolates and everything. And the little chocolate eggs that were wrapped in tinfoil. We had those as well. And it seemed like you had a lot of candy when I was a little kid. But then as the years sort of went on, I don't know, maybe times got tougher. Maybe this is the late Carter years, so maybe that was the problem, because I remember the gas rationing. Maybe that's when it happened, but we got a lot more of that fucking grass and a little less chocolate and candy. I mean, I have a huge Easter basket. I mean, a big Easter basket that you could put a case of beer in. Big Easter basket. And you're thinking, wow, that is huge. This is awesome. This is awesome. And then you get closer and you realize that the entire thing is filled with plastic grass, which you can't smoke, man. And very little candy. And, again, the hollow bunny. And is there some psychology, too, on chocolate bunnies and where you start to eat them? People that eat the ears off first? Is that like you're destined to be a serial killer if you eat the ears off the bunny first? Or maybe just bite the entire head off? You know, and what's it tell you if you go and bite the belly out of it? You're like, This is for you. I'm giving you an abortion. No. It seemed that we lost our chocolate and gained more of the plastic grass over the years. And then pretty soon it just stopped. We didn't get any of them. I don't know what it's like for you Jewish boys and girls out there in Passover. If it's like Hanukkah where you get 8 shitty gifts. I guess it depends on what family you're in. But every Jewish lad that I know and girl that I talk to about Hanukkah, and they're like, I'm like, yes, you get 8 gifts. And they're like, yeah, but they're terrible. There's like one good one out of all of them. I don't know if Passover is the same way. I don't know if you just sit around eating matzahs or something. I always see the matzahs. I enjoy matzah ball soup. It's very good. And the interesting thing about this with Easter, excuse me, we've sort of jammed two religions together for this holiday, which we have done with also Christmas. It's the exact same thing. These are pagan holidays. I mean, Easter is a pagan holiday and Christmas is a pagan holiday. And the church changed everything around at one time so that Easter, they moved Jesus' birth. He's not born December 25th. They moved it to counteract all this, fall harvesting and the pagan rituals and all that, the Christmas trees and all that kind of stuff. And then is Easter, which is spring. That's why it's Esther, which is the goddess of birth and all that kind of stuff. That's what it's named after. Her symbols are eggs and bunny and chocolate bunnies. No, but eggs and their bunnies. It's jumbled now. It's all jumbled and kids don't really know. They go, yeah, it's about Jesus, rising from the dead and his rising up into heaven. But then if you ask them, like, why do we get eggs? They have no idea because nobody teaches them that part. Nobody tells them that part. And they don't realize that, Jesus loved eggs. And that's really the truth of the story. I'm going to, I want to break it down to everybody. Jesus loved, surprisingly enough, deviled eggs. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. Huge deviled egg fan. And so, he would hand them out to his friends. And he liked to be festive. And so he'd color them sometimes. And that was one of his things. The Last Supper, it was like, it was all deviled eggs. There was omelets. And then he made a special dish called the Benediction. Yes, that's right. It was Eggs Benediction, which became Eggs Benedict later on. People don't know that. So Jesus did. That's why we have eggs and bunnies and chocolate bunnies. Because Jesus, he had a pet bunny. A lot of people don't know this either. Jesus had a pet bunny. He had a pet bunny. And he loved eggs. And his bunny, Larry. His pet bunny, Larry. Nobody knows what happened to Larry, though, after Jesus rose from the dead in Easter. A lot of people say that Mary had, took him in. Some people say that the apostles ate him. We don't know. Not really sure. We're not really sure what's going on over there. But that's a good story to tell your kids. I think you should for Easter. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth about Easter right there. That's what it's all about. We no more lying, America, about Christmas, and about how Jesus, we celebrate Christmas because Mary and Joseph got lost in an evergreen forest. And Mary was pregnant. She got lost in evergreen forest. And then she gave birth inside that forest. And nobody could find him. And so Joseph, he hung some shiny objects on a tree so that maybe somebody would spot them. Maybe somebody would spot them and pull them out of the forest and help bring Jesus into the world. And that is the truth. And that's what happened, people. And we need to start telling our children the truth about these holidays, because otherwise we're just going to perpetuate lies. And we don't want to lie to our children, do we? Tell them the truth about the evergreen forest and Jesus, And it wasn't a manger. No, it wasn't a manger. No, Joseph had mange. That's what he had. He had mange. And he got it from the donkey that Mary was riding on. So that's another story that people don't tell you, And they, like I said, the church changed it all around to suit their own needs. But these are the real stories of both of those holidays. And I know that we should be celebrating those for everybody's good mentalness and acuity and I have no idea where I'm going with this. Anyway, so we should tell our children those stories is what we should do. That's what I'm trying to say. Tell them the truth. Don't lie to these kids. So not only was the Ten Commandments on with Charlton Heston, my cold dead hand, Pharaoh. But Jesus Christ Superstar, which is probably my favorite musical. Loved it, love it, love it since I was younger. So it was live on NBC. We had John Legend as Jesus Christ. He has Sarah Bareilles. Did I say that name right? As Mary. I think the guy playing Judas was from Hamilton. That's what I heard somebody say, that he plays somebody in Hamilton, which I have not seen, so I don't know. Overall, loved the performance. Overall, loved the direction of it. Loved it. Did not care for the guy playing Pilate. Don't know who he is. Didn't think he was very strong. I liked his presence and stuff, but I don't think his musical ability was really there. You know, it didn't seem like I'm so used to Barry Denon, I think his name is the original, that it threw me. It doesn't give it for me. Now, the guy playing Judas, I thought was really good. They kind of rearranged some things. And the other thing I thought was interesting is they added two songs that were in the movie that were never in the Broadway production. Could We Start Again, Please, and This Jesus Must Die, or two songs that were added for the movie for some reason. I don't know why Norman Jewison did it that way. I mean, they're both written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and stuff, but so they added those, and it seemed out of place. And maybe it was just, I've seen it a million times, but something seemed, it seems like the Judas's death is supposed to be after the Pontius Pilate scene when Jesus gets whipped, because he mentions it in the song. So it seemed there was a couple things where I thought it was sort of switched around or whatever. Now, I have always been an Yvonne Elliman fan. She does the Mary and, you know, I Don't Know How to Love Him, and If I Can't Have You, I Don't Want Nobody, Baby. That's her, too, from the 70s. I always compare everybody to her, because when she does When I Bring Him Down, Will I Speak of Love, that whole thing, that's where I'm judging it on. Sarah killed it. I thought she was brilliant. I did notice, though, that John Legend can't hit the high notes. So they sort of rearranged the tune a tad. He can sustain notes, but he can't. If you listen to the original with Ian from Deep Purple, I mean, that guy's got a range. It's really high. And I was curious to see if John Legend is going to do that. And it's very rare to find... Ted Neely did it, but it's very rare to find somebody who can hit those notes like Ian did, the original. So I did notice that John Legend just, they sort of tweaked it a little bit so he didn't have to struggle, which is fair. I mean, you know, the other stuff was good. I think Gethsemane was good. That's where I noticed was when he was doing Gethsemane. But I thought his performance, and I really loved the concept with the multiple guitar player guys and sort of the rock feel to it, like a rock concert feel. And the crowd was sometimes in on the act, if you will. That was the opening. I thought was stellar, grabbed your attention, pulled you in, had energy, got you pumped for what was about to happen. I thought that was just brilliant. And then the other thing I thought was just fabulous was when they, and I didn't think it's fabulous that they crucified him, but I think it was fabulous in that scene where he gets crucified and they pull the cross up along the wall. And if you haven't seen this, it's fabulous. They pull this cross up. He's on the cross. They pull it up and then the walls split in fours in the shape of a cross where he kind of goes through that and slowly starts to fade away in the distance. And it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing to see how they had that concept. But he's there for a little bit first before he starts to slowly go back and kind of disappear out of sight and get smaller and smaller, you know, signifying his death. But I thought that was a brilliant way of doing it. Overall, loved the production. Loved it. I thought it had their strong moments. And before I watched it, because I'm on the West Coast, so we don't get it live. Some things we get live, but not always. Like Jimmy Kimmel is not live out here. And, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar is not live. Even though it was live, I think, on the East Coast and maybe up to Central, I don't know. We don't get that. So I was reading some tweets just to see what people were saying, see if it was worth it. And everybody was raving about Alice Cooper was like trending. Everybody was a big deal about Alice Cooper playing King Herod. Now, have you ever seen Jesus Christ Superstar? King Herod's part is very 20s showish. Like that. That's what it is originally. You know, it's piano and sort of 20s and jazzy and vaudevillian, if you will. And it's usually played that way, sort of cartoonish, if you will, this overweight, drunken king who doesn't give a shit. And that's King Herod. And normally, that's what it's like. This one, it was Alice Cooper playing him, which I know he played in 96, I guess, at one time. He doesn't move much. He's shown his age, for one thing. I know he's a big rock star and he's still, you know, touring now and then, but he's kind of showing his age in regards to the way he's walks on stage and stuff. It was very, very interesting, the way he was moving around, to see that. You're like, oh, okay. Hey, you're not as nimble as you used to be. And so it kind of takes away from that whole aspect of the King Herod part. Because you're supposed to play it sarcastic and slimy, like, oh, because there's lines in the song, which is like, oh, if you're the great Jesus Christ, then be no fool, walk across my swimming pool. You know, if you do that for me, I'll let you go free. Change my water into wine. You know, if you're the big star you are, here, you know, do it. Change my water into wine. You know, and it's supposed to be played off that way. I just didn't, people were raving and I'm like, yeah, it was all right. It was all right. Cause that song's not really, it's not really Alice Cooper to me. It's not the crazy Alice Cooper that I've seen before. So yeah, I think most of all, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a well put together, well directed. I'll say that. It was well directed. Somebody made a comment too on Twitter about, well, that's what happens, you know, when you use New York theater actors. Maybe they got a point, you know, that it was in New York. It wasn't out here in LA. And maybe that's a difference, because these are all actual Broadway people doing the chorus and doing the other parts. Simon Zealot was kind of cool. That guy playing him was very rocky, rock star, you know, grunge metal guy, shaved side of his head. Some used the mic stand. Some had the little mics clipped on their thing. I don't know what the decision was. Maybe just aesthetically to make it look good, like rocking it out. But liked it. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And maybe if they replay it, check it out. I think it's online. You can go to NBC on their NBC app or their page. And if you've never seen Jesus Christ Superstar, it's probably a good way to get into it. If you've got some people who've never seen it, it's a really good, great musical. Now, it makes me wonder, because we've had, okay, so we got Jesus Christ Superstar. We've had Sound of Music, which was a movie. But What else did we have before? Oh, we've had hair. Our hairspray. I mean, maybe we'll get hair. Who knows? Hairspray, Sound and Music, Grease. We've had that one live. So I'm curious to see. Well, it seemed like Hairspray, that was a movie first. Sound and Music was a movie, but Grease was a play before it was a movie. So that's a little bit different. But it was interesting to also see that they didn't do like they did with the other ones on NBC, where they kind of went from a set to a set. This was all a stage. This is just a live stage production, concert, if you will, of the musical. So what's next? I mean, what are they gonna pull out and do on TV? Are we gonna see Cats? Are we gonna see that? Are we gonna see Starlight Express? What are we gonna see? Is it all gonna be Andrew Lloyd Webber? Little Mermaid? Who knows? I mean, they figured if it works a couple times, they do it again. But Sound of Music didn't really work. That didn't go very well. Hairspray, I thought, was pretty good the way that they pulled it off. And, you know, doing different sets and going from one camera to another. And it was a hell of a thing to direct. That and Grease both, because they're all over Universal Backlot. So it must have been really, really interesting to shoot those things. So we shall see. Well, we shall see what it was. But I enjoyed it and hope you guys, somebody, you know, you enjoyed it if you watched it. Maybe you hated it. I don't know. So other things going on that I found very interesting this weekend. I found this out, and I don't know if this is how you would react to this. So out here in L.A., at KTLA, Channel 5, there is a news anchor named Courtney Friel. And she's blonde, she's gorgeous, she's good looking, and she's got a couple kids. She's divorced. Now, the guy she's divorced from is engaged now to a woman named Lauren Lister. Now, Lauren Lister used to work for several different news organizations as a field reporter. Now she works for KTLA. So how would that be if you had to sit there and work on the air with the person who stole your husband out there in the field, and you got to throw it to her and go, you know, because before she's not working with you. Now it was the other woman, and then now she's working at the same station with you. So is there competition? Now, I was reading this article, and Courtney Friel said, no, we all get along. We all, you know, she's great with the kids, and we're all happy, and it's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, sure it is. That's how it was at the beginning, wasn't it? When Lauren Lister stole your man. Wasn't it, Courtney? Come on. It couldn't have been like, oh, it's all beautiful. Oh, no, come on over, you know? Come on over and play with my kids, mistress. It'd be great. I would appreciate it. So I found that very interesting when I was... this is what I do. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You're like, how would you stumble upon this? Well, because I think Lauren Lister is very attractive. So what do I do on certain weekend or weekday nights? I watch TV, and if I find an actress or a news anchor or a reporter very attractive, I look them up on Google. I Google them. That's what I do. And I look to see, you know, if they're single, because maybe that gives me some hope. Maybe I just go a little fantasy in my head going, hey, yeah, you know, like Annabelle Munoz. She's a reporter out here. Very attractive. Very cute. You know, we have a Danielle Gersh. She's a weather person out here on CBS, I think it is. So I look these people up, and I was looking it up. And ironically, right now, by the way, there's a news helicopter going over my studio. Uh-oh. Courtney's sending them out. I was interested... What's her deal? Because I've seen her before in other news. I'm like, oh, wait, she's over here at KTLA now. So I looked up Lauren Lister. Then I started reading the Wikipedia and some other things. And that's what it described, that she is engaged to the Courtney Friel's ex-husband, but it seemed pretty recent. Like I, you know, and then she's working over there, and that's when I went, oh, wait a minute, she's working at the same station? Boy, that's gotta be weird. And then there was articles on it, because I'm not the only one who said, boy, that's kind of fucked up, isn't it? To be working at the same place and you're fine with it? Because that's what she was saying in the articles. Oh, no, I'm good. So, you know, we love it. We have picnics together and, you know, three ways. And I don't know, maybe they have threesomes. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's good. Who knows? Yeah, that's a little thing I like to do is I Google actresses and people. And we all do it. And you know you do it, men. Maybe some women. You know who you are. Do you watch them and you go, wow, she is really pretty. Or what I'll do lots of times is I'll try to Google somebody I've seen a couple of times. I go, wait a minute, I recognize them from something else. And if they're a New York actor, I guarantee you there's at least three Law & Order episodes they're on. At least three. Law & Order used the same people. I'm a huge Law & Order fan. The original. Not all these other stuff. But the huge Law & Order. And they use the same actors over and over again. I did notice. But they wait like a couple years before. Because one time they'll be playing like a bum on the street. And the next time now he's a district attorney. And then the next time he's a rapist. So it's such a varying thing. Because there was one guy who played a Sierra Leone mercenary, army guy. And then later on, a few episodes later, he's a FBI agent. So, yeah. But if you lived in New York and you're an actor in New York, I bet you that was probably a pretty good time when Law & Order was out there. Your whole thing was trying to get on Law & Order. And there's a great SNL sketch about the, you know, when the detectives are going out and they're interviewing somebody. And the person is always doing some activity. Because they don't want you just to stand there and give you, because it's all exposition. They're just telling you what the hell's going on. And so they want the person to like pick up boxes, a little truck, or they always sign clipboards. That's one of my favorite things. They always sign a clipboard. Somebody will come up in the middle of the scene, doesn't say a word because they're an extra, they can't. And it comes up, hands the other person the thing, a clipboard, and signs it. And there's an SNL sketch about the whole acting class was how to act for those scenes, like how to pick up the boxes and talk and chew gum at the same time. Pretty much is the essence of the whole thing. It's really fun. I'm sure it's on YouTube if you want to look it up, or Hulu, one of those things. I don't know what the difference between. I think when you got a Hulu, you have to pay for that, but I'm not sure. Hmm. So again, our drinks tonight were the Cucumber Sour from 10 Barrel Brewing and the Raspberry Sour. They both cans say the word crush. One's red, one's blue, or green. Go figure that. These are their sours. My vote, raspberry over the cucumber. Unless you hate raspberries or are allergic to them, then don't drink it. Cucumber, essence cucumber, sort of there. They're both a little bit sour. The raspberry seems a little more tart, a little soury, a little bit more of that, sour worms feel to it, if you will. And like I said, the cucumber sour is not a bad beer if it's a hot summer day. It's not bad. It's just as a beer. If it's hot out, sitting outside, I wouldn't mind it. They do have other things. You can go to their website, 10 Barrel Brewing, I think it is. Check out the Patagonia clothing living style they like to do and show, because everybody's out there grilling and cooking with the mountains in the background and with their fleece and their beards and mustaches with the little curls on the end. You know, you got to put the stuff on to get your mustache to curl up. It's just, you know, it just cracked me up because it was very that kind of thing. So check us out. As always, subscribe. Please subscribe. iTunes, you can do it on Podcast Player. If on Android, you can do the Apple on your iPhone. Just there's a podcast right there on your iPhone. Podcast. We're there. Just type in 30 Minute Cocktail Hour, the 30 Minute Cocktail Hour. It'll pop up. Also, follow us. Please follow us on Twitter at 30min. No, it's 30min cocktail HR. 30min cocktail HR. You can go to our website, my website, whatever you want to call it, 30mch.com. Where to find us? There's a whole list of places, SoundCloud, other things. So please start subscribing. That would be great. Facebook is 30mch as well. So that's our Facebook page. I post some pictures up there. And on 30mch, it's always, I will put some other pictures of what we're talking about, sometimes some links, sometimes a longer blog if there's stuff to talk about, all that kind of good stuff. So please check us out. And as always, it's fun, fun, fun. We thank you for listening. I thank you. And have a good night. See you.